This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How's it feel to be back in Toronto doing a Resident Evil movie? It must have been like a little bit of a reprieve from the sweltering heat of Mexico.
It's quite a reprieve. Well, I mean, it's great. I love Toronto. It's a great city, and it's nice to be in a place where you get all the amenities of a big city, of course.
Yeah.
But there was definitely a charm about Mexicali. You can't be our little tiny, you know, motel that we stayed in, the little pool in the middle and all of our rooms looking out on it, so we could all drink margaritas at the end of the day. It was fun.
Nice. Can you talk about, I thought it was interesting, you mentioned a little bit about working with Paul and hammering out the script, or maybe hammering on him while he was hammering out the script, but can you talk a little bit about that and sort of what the back and forth is like with you guys?
We definitely sit up a lot talking about you know, the script and the story and it's like we talk about all the things that I like first, and then, you know, I get into the things that I sort of am not totally sure about.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much it's like either he'll really explain a great reason for something, and I'll be like, oh, okay. Or, you know, if it's something I feel really strongly about, you know, he'll go and rewrite it.
Was there something that you're pleased to see that he took your advice on and put in the movie? Something
quite a bit.
Something in particular?
I don't want to give it away. Oh, I guess you guys aren't allowed to.
We can't write about this for a long time.
I was very much just wanting the action to sort of step up a notch for this one, especially with the 3D. And I'd always experienced, like, going to the movies whenever there's, like, I don't remember what it is, but you know that advertising, not advertising, but it's like that amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
That you sort of swoop down into when you're at the movies.
Oh, right.
I don't know
the
what
logo it, for Pacific
for
Theater.
Yeah. And I always loved that logo because I was like, wow, you really kind of feel like you're flying into it. And I was like, I really feel like, and if you see something like that in 3D, how amazing that is, that feeling of really swooping down and flying. And so we have Alice flying a plane in this one, which is going to be really cool, so that you really get this feeling
in
of 3D. Flying through things and flying low through things. And also, you know, a big thing of mine was doing a great jump,
mm-hmm.
you know, so especially in 3D, so you really have this feeling of, like, diving down like an elevator shaft from in a skyscraper or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... So it was constantly like, Paul, have you written the elevator shaft scene? Have you written the elevator shaft scene? Like, and so he wrote this really great scene during the clone sequence where my clones crash through this plate glass window and then get into this needle dive, going down, like, you know, 50 stories of, like, the Umbrella headquarters.
Wow.
And they found this amazing... they found this amazing place. It's like the university here,
mm-hmm.
where they have those white floating pods,
mm-hmm.
which is actually like a coffee station, I guess, for the teachers. And then the other is like a student study area. And it's like, lucky students and teachers. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the main Wesker Umbrella headquarters center. And then, you know, I do this really, really amazing needle dive. The two clones, like, shooting it. People as we go down, because it's like in this atrium, so it's like all the balconies around, so all the guards are coming, and it's like
shot practically with
it was shot against green screen.
Okay.
And you know, so it was really about, like, because the first take we did, you know, I like to see playback all the time, because, you know, in every film, but because I like to make adjustments when I see it on screen, it kind of becomes more clear to me, like, what's not right with this, or, you know, oh, it's great, I love it, but most of the time, you know, it's like, what's not right about this? And you know, I saw the playback, and of course I'm in wires and stuff, so they bring me the little clamshell, and you know, I'm just kind of like floating there, and I was like, there's just something wrong with this shot, and I realized, like, when I skydived, there was, like, the wind, like, hitting you, and it's not, like, big moves, but you really feel the wind resistance, and I was like, I think this is missing, like, some wind resistance to give it that reality of actually diving, because, I mean, it was so weird. That whole diving sequence was just surreal because, A, we were shooting nights, so we would come up with these crazy ideas at 3 a.m, but to shoot me diving straight down, I had to be up, so my ponytail is, like, flying in the right direction. So I'm hanging there kind of, you know, doing stuff like that, you know, to kind of do the wind resistance. And then when my clones, like, crash through the windows, one is crashing this way and the other is shooting, crashing backwards. And so it was like, okay, so if she's falling this way, then her ponytail is going to fall down. So we actually have to shoot you. No, if she's falling this way, her ponytail would be flying up because of the wind. So we actually had to shoot me backwards through the ponytail. And then the other one who's falling down, her hair is here. So we actually had to shoot me. And, you know, doing this at 3 a.m, like, which way is the ponytail going? Like, I mean, it was just literally so just hard to do, and everyone's getting really pissed off, and, you know, I'm like, I think that Paul would be like, duh. I'm like, okay. I'm not going to say anything, but the ponytail is not in the right direction.
How are your new castmates sort of acclimating to the minutiae of all these action shots, like Wentworth and Kim? How has it been working with them, and anything that they have said that was fun that you'd like to share?
Well, I mean, Kim is just a riot. I mean, he is an amazing actor and just so much fun to work with because, you know, he just, like, improvises all over the place. And,
is that encouraged?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. Anything to give life to the characters is great, you know, and, you know, but sometimes he'll, like, just go so far that you're just like, are you joking? Like, at one point, you know, he started talking about, like, you know, we gotta get out of here because they're gonna come and they're gonna eat us alive or something. We're the only, you know, fresh meat left on the West Coast. And he just starts going and he's like, they're gonna tear us piece by piece off our bones, the meat, blood eating, like, just completely. And we're just dying, like, are you freaking serious? Because it's turning into, like, Scary Movie or something. I mean, it was hilarious. And, I mean, Wentworth is just such a wonderful, wonderful guy. We've had quite a few really fun experiences. I'm sure if you guys have read the Twitter account, you've read about him shooting Boris this year, which is a pretty crazy sequence. But I guess Wentworth's never fired a gun before this movie.
Never even in
Prison Break. Even in Prison Break, he did.
Did he?
I thought he shot someone in prison.
I don't think so.
No?
Because he was like, yeah, I've pointed a gun. Mm-hmm. I've never actually fired a gun. Which I was like, oh, okay. Huh. It was kind of funny. And so they went and practiced for a few minutes before the scene where he had to fire. And it's like, wow, it takes a lot, you know, to just go in the room, 5 minutes, okay, action. But he pulled it off. I mean, he's really good. And, you know, we've had a really great time just hanging out between takes and making fun of each other. And I mean, we're just constantly just having a great time imitating each other, you know, and our characters. And, you know, it's been a laugh.
Can you talk about how Alice has evolved a little bit this movie, especially with her powers? I mean, one of the big scenes last movie, of course, was the burning all the birds in the sky. Are we going to see those powers evolve again?
Or? Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I think the interesting thing about this movie, actually, this was one of the arguments I had with Paul at the beginning of the script writing process, that he convinced me this is the way it should be, which is really funny. I'm glad you reminded me of that. But she loses her powers in this movie.
Absolutely. Where's the pretty girl?
Hi. I don't want you to touch me. I'm so sorry.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, she certainly brought
I'm going to take your bag, too. Switch it up.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just finish up with this, but she loses her powers in this one, and it's actually a really great thing because, in some sense, it makes her human again, which she's wanted, and I think it gives her a lightness too, and like a sense of relief to just be a badass again and not have to be a superhero, you know, and I think that shows throughout the rest of the movie is this kind of, in a strange way, like a joy of just being herself again, which is great.
Cool. Anyway, real quick,
thanks very much. From the wrist to the elbow, what is this thing called that you've got wrapped around?
Don't
you? Is it serve a functional purpose, or is it just?
Yeah, it does serve a functional purpose. It used to be my T-shirt, which ripped. But in the movie, I have like kind of Travis Bickle type guns that come out from under my coat, so they protect my arms. It also comes very much in handy when crawling through tunnels.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi.